Thank you for listening to Gateway City Church Online today. We hope this message will be a blessing to you and draw you closer to God. Here are some highlights and prophetic ministry from this service.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. You may be seated. And I was just sitting there, and I grew up in Missouri, and you see the big thunderclouds start to roll up in the sky. And my wife and I used to be on the lake skiing, and I would say to my wife, we have like 30 minutes to get to the dock, because that storm is moving in. And many of you sitting here this morning, the storm clouds are forming over your head. And you're looking for a safe place to go, and you came to the right place. God is saying, pull into my dock. Pull into my shelter, because I have you covered. Don't let the fear overcome you. Don't stand out in the rain. Don't stand out in the storm, but come to me, and I will give you protection. I will give you shelter. I will give you my grace and my power in your life. You don't have to fight the storm by yourself. You don't have to live in fear. You don't have to stand out there and be buffeted and blown around and face all of that. But I'm saying to you that I am your God this morning, and I have you in my hand. And the storms are coming. The wind may blow. It may come down like a hurricane upon you. But I'm telling you, I am going to protect you.
We actually choose where we're focusing in that storm. We can look at it, see the clouds, see what's going on, and panic, or we can look to God. In Psalms, David, I love David. He tells it real. In Psalm 102, title in mind says, a prayer of one whose life is falling to pieces and who just lets God know how bad it is. It's in the message. It says, God, listen. Listen to my prayer. Listen to the pain in my cries. Don't turn your back on me just when I need you so desperately. Pay attention. This is a cry for help. And hurry. This can't wait. I'm wasting away to nothing. I'm burning up with fever. I'm a ghost of my former self, half consumed already by terminal illness. My jaws ache from gritting my teeth. Sometimes you feel like that. You're just beat up, and I just can't take it. And then down a few verses, David says, and yet, God, you are sovereign still, always and ever sovereign. And then he refocuses, which is what we need to do when we're facing those kind of storms, Lindell. And in the next chapter, he says, oh, my soul, bless God. From head to toe, I will bless his holy name. Oh, my soul, bless God. Don't forget a single blessing. He forgives your sins, every one. He heals your diseases, every one. He crowns you with love and mercy, a paradise crown. He redeems you from hell, saves your life. He wraps you in goodness, beauty eternal. He renews your youth. You're always young in his presence. God makes everything come out right. And so we can choose to focus on the storm, or we can choose to focus on the God who can calm that storm. And so we did that today a little bit in worship, singing, Lord, I look to you. I won't be overwhelmed. God, I look to you. You're where my help comes from. And then singing, forever, my God reigns. Let's just do that just for a brief moment. Just worship, refocus a little bit. Lord, we just thank you because you're in control of the storms, that you're there. You're our safe place. You're the dock we can pull into. You're our protection. You're our healer. You're our strength. You're our deliverer. Everything we need is found in you. And Lord, we just focus our attention on you. We declare the goodness of God, where you say you rescue us, you set our feet on the right path, that we're above and not beneath, we're the head and not the tail. You bless us coming in and going out. Everything we put our hands to will prosper because you've declared this over us, Lord. You bless our bread and water. You take sickness from our midst, and we thank you for it. We just focus on you, awesome God. We won't be overwhelmed because our help comes from you. We thank you for it. Awesome God, we worship you this morning. Oh, in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Well, good morning. We're in the right place today. Take a beating and then you get to go to your corner and rest a little bit.
Now let's go into the service for today's message.
Hey, Gateway family, I hope you're being blessed by the atmosphere of God's presence today. I tell you, what a time we had last weekend at our Inspire conference. And I believe that that release of the new things of God is still working today, and it's going to continue for a long time. So get ready for new things. Now, this weekend, I'm speaking in Pittsburgh in some special meetings at two of our network churches out there. But let me tell you a little bit about what God has in store for you in San Jose today. We are blessed to have Pastor Scott Apke as our speaker this morning. Scott and his wife Janet have been serving the Lord as pastors and prophetic ministers all for many, many years. And having been my close friends for a long time, and along with their awesome daughter Whitney, they've now become a very special part of our local church community, and we love them a whole lot. Pastor Scott, thanks for your ministry to the church today. You are awesome, my brother. And church, thank you for all your prayers today and every day. I love you. I'll see you next Sunday. Now, please welcome Pastor Scott Apke.
I've been going to church for a long time. If I trotted out my collection of, you know, Sunday school attendance medals and gold stars and happy faces and all that good stuff we get for coming to church, I'd have a pretty good competition with most anyone here. And I have to tell you, what motivates me to do what I do is not just to go have another service somewhere or just to go to another place, but to have an encounter with Jesus, to have an encounter with His Holy Spirit. I'll show up for that anytime. Amen. Amen. This morning, I have to tell you, I don't really have a message for you. That doesn't mean I'm not going to say anything. Being a preacher, of course, I have those skills. I have really what I consider a prophetic exhortation. And I really sense, as I've been preparing this week and asking the Lord to just direct me and give not just what I want to say, but what is on the heart of God for you, I believe this is going to be a prophetic experience for you this morning. If you'll open your spirit to receive it, the Holy Spirit's going to be doing some work while we're considering the Word this morning. And I want to start with a very familiar passage of Scripture. And among the friends that I kind of hang with and people that I, you know, call and touch base with from time to time, communicate with to see, you know, what's God saying to you. It's always interesting to me when you're in relationship in the Spirit, how you wind up kind of saying the same thing, perhaps in a different way. But this particular chapter that I want to minister out of this morning, John chapter 4, is a passage of Scripture that I believe Holy Spirit has been speaking to with a fresh sense of emphasis in this last season of time. It's a familiar story of the woman at the well. And I'm going to read a passage of it. I tried to, cut the Scripture time down a little bit, but you really can't get the context without telling the whole story. So we're going to start in John chapter 4 and verse 5. And speaking of Jesus, it says, "So he came to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, therefore being wearied from his journey, sat thus by the well. It was about the sixth hour. A woman of Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, 'Give me a drink.' For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. And then the woman of Samaria said to him, 'How is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan?' For Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said to her, If you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." I want to just share with you this morning on this idea of living water. And perhaps I can ask the question. It's an obvious question at the moment. Anybody here thirsty? I've been drinking water all morning, but I'm thirsty. You can have had the most marvelous time with God before you came to church this morning and feel like your cup is overflowing and yet still be thirsty. I believe with all of my heart that spiritual thirst and spiritual hunger, it's not a sign of weakness. It's not a sign of immaturity. I believe it's an indication of spiritual maturity to be continually hungry and thirsty for more, because that means you have tasted of the deep things of God. When you taste and see that the Lord is good, as we sang earlier, that there's, you get a hold of something. Maybe it's like that favorite childhood meal, that favorite holiday treat that maybe your grandma made or your mom or your dad, if he cooked worth a bean, you know. You smell the aroma. You catch a glimpse of a picture, and it just brings back all those familiar memories. When you've tasted and seen that the Lord is good, and when you've had an encounter with Him, it just causes you to desire more. And I have good news for you this morning. There's more. There's more. There's more. There's more. There's more. There's more. No matter how long you've been drinking, there's more. One of the things I really ask the Lord to help me with is I don't want to become familiar with the things of the Spirit. I want to know Holy Spirit, but I don't want to become so familiar with Him that I don't treat Him as something to be regarded as special and holy. My encounters with Him are life-changing. I can't live without Him. I have nothing to say this morning without the Holy Spirit speaking through me. And no matter how long you've been serving Jesus, no matter how short a time it is, there's more. You may have just had your life's most amazing spiritual encounter in recent days. The good news is there's still more to be experienced. Hallelujah. So here's this interesting story about Jesus sitting at a well, thirsty. Sitting at a well he would not normally be found at as a Jewish rabbi. He's in Samaria. He's sitting at the well. I think he was sitting there with expectation, knowing that this woman was coming, because he knew just from culture that this was not the time of day that the women came to the well to draw water. That happened earlier, and this woman came later for very obvious reasons, because she was not well looked upon in her society. She came at a time when she knew she could avoid all those other women, and she wouldn't have to put up with the comments and the innuendos and all of those things that she probably was so familiar with. But when she went to the well, she did meet somebody who was waiting for her, and that person was Jesus. Aren't you glad that in spite of our best efforts to clean ourselves up, which is a waste of time, by the way, Jesus takes us as we are. He doesn't demand of us to clean ourselves up, to put on some false robe of religiosity. He doesn't ask of us to become something that we cannot be without Him. He says, "Are you thirsty? Are you thirsty? Come to Me, and I'll give you drink. I'll give you water." So the woman comes to the well. She's got her pot. She's coming out to do her daily chore, and Jesus is there. And He asks her for a drink, just to begin the encounter. We read just a moment ago, and we read this story. She's surprised. "How is it that you, being a Jew, are even talking to Me, a Samaritan woman?" That was considered a huge no-no, cultural faux pas. "How is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from Me? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." Jesus answered and said to her, "If you knew the gift of God that was sitting here, you would ask, and He would give you water." Hallelujah. Here's a question. Do we really know who He is? How long since you discovered something new about Him you've never seen before? I love this story. I've been telling it so long now I can't remember who to attribute it to. So I'll just believe that I made it up myself. No, I'm kidding. So one of my friends said, when you quote somebody the first time, you give their name. If I was going to quote Chip, I'd say, "Chip, this powerful quote." The next time you quote him, you say, "One of my good friends says," and then after that you say, "As I'm always saying." So I've been telling this story so long I can't remember who it originated with, but a minister I heard preaching told the story of an encounter of a vision of heaven that he had, and he was watching the living creatures, and he was watching the cherubim, the seraphim, as they circled the throne. You have that beautiful picture out of Revelation chapter 4 of the throne room of God, and he was watching all of this activity take place, and the scripture says they sing this song, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and who is and who is to come." And it says they never cease to say. Just from a human perspective, don't you think about the third or 400th trip around the throne, you might say, is there a second verse? And somebody said, why do they continue to sing the same song? And the wisdom came because every time they circle the throne, they come around and they see something new about him they've never seen before. And it causes the song to erupt out of them. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and who is to come. That's what this morning should be for us. A fresh encounter, a fresh view, fresh taste, a fresh drink. Are you thirsty? Here's the good news. All you have to do is ask. All you have to do is ask. Let's read on. John 4, reading now verse 11. The woman said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where then do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as well as his sons and his livestock?" Jesus answered and said to her, "Whoever drinks of the water, this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life." It's typical for us when we come into a dry season, when we're going through perhaps a difficulty, when we're going through a time it feels maybe like a spiritual desert, it's typical for us to begin to look to external sources. You know, maybe we've got a YouTube of our favorite worship leader or a speaker that we love to hear, or perhaps there's a book, passage of scripture that challenges us, and so we go to that, which is all wonderful. But you know, ultimately, you can't get what Jesus is talking about out of somebody else's book, or even somebody else's message, or out of a song, as good as it might be. Those things are helpful, but let me tell you, there's no external answer to an internal need. What you have to have is a drink from a wellspring that's already inside of you. This is not something that Jesus must come and construct. If you have Jesus in your heart, if you have a relationship with him, this well is already inside of you, and you can take a drink at any time. The well is in you. I want to look at one other passage of scripture here. Very familiar passage of scripture out of John chapter 7, just a few chapters further on, verse 37. On the last day and the great day of the feast. Let me just put that into context. This is after several days of celebration. This is after several days of the wine and the water jugs flowing freely at a very, what would seem like a unexpected moment. Jesus stands up. Everybody's been drinking for days, and he said, "Is anybody here thirsty?" Says he cried out, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." Can you say rivers? Rivers. "Out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." Look now at verse 39. "But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified." This he spoke of Holy Spirit. Jesus is watching the feast, even in this celebration of a religious tradition. Jesus could see the emptiness of it. He could see there were people that had been celebrating for days, and yet they were not satiated. They were not finding the answer. They were perhaps having a time of enjoyment, but I think Jesus, in his compassion and in his heart for people, was overcome with a sense of, here people trying to find happiness at the bottom of a wine glass. You know, people in our day and age, the substances that can be used for helping people forget or kind of numb themselves against life. They're so numerous we'd take all afternoon to name them. In the midst of that kind of environment, Jesus stood up and cried out, "Is anybody here thirsty? What you're drinking, you're going to have another glass of it pretty soon. But if you will allow me to give you drink, I'll give you something that will cause you to receive living water that will do such a work inside of you, it'll become like a river in you. Flowing up, bubbling into everlasting life." I want to look back at these verses in John chapter 4 in a couple different translations. First, the Amplified, because I just like how it says it a little more clearly. John chapter 4, verses 13 and 14 in the Amplified. "Jesus answered the woman and said, 'All who drink of this water will be thirsty again, but whoever takes a drink of the water that I give will never, no, never be thirsty anymore.'" This is the part I want you to see. "But the water that I will give him shall become a spring of water, welling up, flowing, bubbling." What's the next word? Continually. Continually within him, unto, into, and for eternal life. This is supposed to be normative Christianity, that we live in the overflow. That we live, if you will, in a sense of spiritual excess. Why is that important? Because we're planted on the earth not just to survive it, but we're here to be an influence. And dry, thirsty, weary, worn-out Christians can't have much of an influence. We have the same issues everybody else has. So what makes us different? What makes us different is when we learn how to tap into this incredible, eternal source of life, this wellspring that is inside of us, put there as a work of Holy Spirit. I think one of the most stunning things that Jesus ever said to his disciples was when he said to his disciples, preparing them for his departure, he said, "I'm about to leave you." And he said, "Actually, it's better for you that I go." I think that had to be a remarkable statement to them, and I'm sure they didn't understand what he was saying. I'm not sure I do, because I can't think of anything that would be more awesome than to have Jesus here in the flesh. But Jesus said to his disciples, "It's better for you that I go, because if I go, I will send another, the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, and when he comes, he will lead you into all truth." This promise that Jesus was speaking, he's even speaking prophetically in John 4 and John chapter 7, saying, when the Holy Spirit comes, he will become in you a wellspring of life. Can you go back and remember when you encountered Holy Spirit? I can. You want to talk about dry. I was spitting sand spiritually. In full-time ministry, serving God, love God with all of my heart, but God had my wife and I on a quest, and you know, he's convinced that he's God and he has a right to do certain things that he doesn't ask our permission for. We're going to have to ask him about that one of these days. Somebody asked Mother Teresa just before she died, "When you see God, what's the first thing you're going to say to him? What are you going to ask?" And she said, "I'm just going to say to him, you have a whole lot of explaining to do." You ever feel that way? We're going to talk about this one when I see you. Well, we may, or it may just be settled in a moment when we look on his face and that's it. Who knows? My wife and I were having encounters that were outside of our theology, and I had heard the Lord clearly from the time I was a young boy. I had my first prophetic dream. I didn't even know what it was. I had my first prophetic dream at 3 and a half. I didn't know how young I was, but I told my parents, we lived at this house and this kind of a room, and this is what I remember. And I told them that I can still remember the dream vividly. I didn't understand any of that, but there was that presence, that tease of the Holy Spirit. Every believer has the Holy Spirit in a measure. But as we well know, you can come into an experience with Holy Spirit where you experience what we call the baptism of Holy Spirit, and that's a whole other level altogether. Can somebody in here say amen? Amen. And I remember it was a year and a half that I went without hearing the voice of God. And at a pastor's conference down at the Church on the Way, which is a church that Jack Hayford pastored for many years, at his pastor's conference in November of 1988, I had a service where I felt like God was just rubbing it in, because everything that was being talked about was about rain, was about water. And I was so dry and so thirsty. I was at my wit's end, and I actually had told Janet, if something doesn't happen during these meetings, I'm out of the ministry. I can't do this anymore. Something's got to change. I've learned this about God. There are times that He will allow us to get into a place of desperation where we will get so focused on Him, He can finally break through to us. That probably tells you something about how thick-headed I am. But a year and a half without hearing His voice, and it was almost punitive to me. I couldn't stand it. I had to have some. I didn't know what I was after. I was having theological issues with what people told me I needed, because I had a partial understanding of Holy Spirit, but I didn't really know Him, and we didn't really acknowledge the baptism of the Holy Spirit in the denomination I was a part of back then. We loved Jesus with all of our hearts. But I remember everything that happened that night was about water. The special song was about water. And I just thought, God, you're just rubbing it in. This is just cruel now. And then Pastor Jack got up. There were probably 4,000 people present in this meeting. And he said, the spirit of prophecy is in the room. And I turned around to see where he was and what he looked like. That's how ignorant I was. I just thought, well, I want to see that. He said, if we called for prophetic words right now, we'll be here till tomorrow morning. But he said, here's what I want you to do. The Holy Spirit has a prophetic word for everyone here. I want you to close your eyes and just say, Holy Spirit, I receive the word you have for me. Something to that effect. And I just sort of went along with it, knowing everybody in the room is going to get a prophetic word except me. But when I closed my eyes became like a movie screen. And the words of the prophetic word the Holy Spirit had for me began to roll across my eyebrows, and I read them, and the whole context of it was that he told me he knew where I was and he knew what I was going through, and if I would surrender to him and if I would follow him, he would lead me into what I was thirsty for. And then he gave me instruction. He said, go submit yourself to a particular minister that was there that I met. It was from my, it come out of my denomination, and he was contending with me theologically, asking me questions I couldn't answer. But he said, go submit yourself to that man for ministry. So Janet and I told her what the Lord said, and I said, let's go look. And we walked around after that meeting was over, 20 or 30 minutes looking for this gentleman. I'd seen him in every session of that conference all week long. I couldn't find him anywhere. And I said, well, let's just go. That must not have been the Lord. And we turned to walk out, and I said, wait a minute. Let's go out this door, because it's closer to where we parked. We turned, walked down the aisle, and ran right into him. There he was. And I just stood there waiting, and when he was finished talking to the people that he was with, I just told him what Holy Spirit said. I don't know what this means. I don't know if I'm putting you on the spot, but this is what Holy Spirit showed me when Pastor Jack told us that he had a prophetic word for us, and he said, come, go submit yourself to you for ministry. So here I am. He grabbed a hold of me. He didn't wait for permission. He grabbed a hold of me. I was so nicely dressed that day. Nice suit and dress shirt and beautiful tie. He grabbed a hold of my suit coat and just drug me. And he drug me down front of that big platform at Church on the Way, up the 7 steps, and recessed into the platform about right here was a baptismal tank. And on Wednesday nights, they had baptisms there. And they'd had baptisms that night as a part of what they normally did, and it was awesome. Well, that baptismal tank that I'm now standing in was right there and open. And he began to prophesy over me, and he said, you're wearing a cloak of oppression. And he grabbed a hold of my suit coat, and he ripped it off of me without asking any permission, giving me permission to unbutton, anything like that. He tore it off of me, and then he ran over to the baptistry, and he grabbed a handful of water about 15 feet away, and he threw it at me. And when that water hit me, I was instantaneously baptized in the Holy Spirit and had all I could do to keep from doing a triple somersault with a half gainer off of the platform, because I was rocking under the power of the Holy Spirit. Had no idea what had happened to me, but something had radically changed. And Holy Spirit said, now, go back to your hotel room and read 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14 like it means what it says, not like you were taught. And I went and I read, oh, here it is. It's so plain. He who speaks in an unknown tongue speaks mysteries. He doesn't speak to man. He speaks to God. I pray with my understanding. I pray with my spirit. It's like, why didn't I see this? What had changed? It was like Saul on the road to Damascus, where Thank you. My gift of vocabulary just massively failed me there. The scales fell off of his eyes, and he had a radical encounter with the glory of God, and his identity was changed. He became Paul, and under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. How many of you would say that's a radical encounter with God? We could hear stories today. Some of you have had amazing encounters with the Holy Spirit. Maybe your encounter was different than mine, but we could tell stories all morning long. But the point of it is, you don't live off of that first drink. You don't live off of that first experience. You've just walked into something. You've just stepped into something that is now available to you without limitation. The only limitation on how much of Holy Spirit you experience will be the limitation you put on Him or you put on yourself. Don't let your theology, don't let your doctrine, don't let anything get in the way of experiencing Holy Spirit. Let me say this to you. Holy Spirit is not an experience. He cannot be defined by any particular gift. He's not the third leg of the Trinity. I remember the days when we just didn't talk about Him very much because He was kind of unpredictable. Kind of like the crazy relative you see only once a year at your family reunion. You just never know what they might do. So be careful. And so many people have that attitude about Holy Spirit. But Jesus said, it's better for you that I go so He can come. I'm going to take Jesus at His word. He's not an experience. He is a realm. He is a dimension of spirit that you can step into. You can live there. You can live from that place. You can work from that place. You must worship from that place. You can live from that place of experiencing the overflow of the wellspring of living water that God has put on the inside of you. Hallelujah. And this morning, I'm here just as an encouragement to you to help dig, because for some of you, the well has been stopped up. Life can do that sometimes. Sometimes disappointments, people will fail you. You go through certain crisis, maybe a relational crisis. Life has ways of throwing things at us that seem so difficult to recover from. But even in the midst of those times, what I'm talking to you about is not just a Band-Aid. It's something that will cause you not only to survive those times, but to thrive in the midst of adversity. Because you have living water on the inside of you. And I'm here to tell you this morning, I can feel this in my spirit so strong. Some of you are in for an encounter this morning. God is going to come and He's going to blast out those things that have been stopping up your well. And you're going to come into a place of being revived in your innermost being, because Jesus, who is the baptizer in the Holy Spirit, is here to give you a drink this morning. Is anyone thirsty? Let him come to me and drink. The water that I give you. Jesus compared, the water at the well. The water at this well, if you drink of this water, you're going to have another drink. But if you drink of the water that I give you, you will never thirst again. Now, I'm not contradicting myself, because the scripture says you'll never thirst again. But once you've tasted, you'll be hooked. You're going to have another taste. Not out of desperation. But look, if you are desperate this morning, if you are hungry, if life has thrown you some curves that you didn't see coming, and you just find yourself perhaps disillusioned, maybe you've never experienced what I'm talking about, I'm here to tell you this morning, because Jesus loves you so incredibly, He wants to help you tap into that wellspring of living water that I've been talking about this morning. And I want us just to take a moment as we just sort of shift gears. I didn't want to take time to use my whole time this morning speaking, because I want to give you an opportunity this morning to tap into the wellspring of Holy Spirit that's present. The Holy Spirit, we thank You that You're here. You're God, as much God as is the Son or the Father. You are God, and we honor You, and we bless You. And we thank You, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I thank You for people in this room this morning, Lord, who love You with all of their hearts, but they've been through a difficult time. And they're desperate this morning, not for something, not just a church service that will get them through the week, but God, for an encounter with You that will bring change to them, that will be lasting change. I just pray, Holy Spirit, that You would begin to do a work Even now, precious Holy Spirit, touch and move in this place. Move in this place, Lord. Touch people who have been disappointed, people who've been hurt, people who've been wounded, people who might be disillusioned this morning, or people who just, for whatever reason, they're just in a dry place. You're not here to condemn. You're not here to criticize. You are here to give them a drink. Oh, I thank you, Holy Spirit, that the fountain is present. The fountain is ever flowing. There's no limit, Father. Everyone here this morning can drink, can drink to their heart's delight, and we will not yet have even scratched the surface of what is available. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for the water of life. Thank you for rivers of living water in this place this morning, Lord. Thank you for rivers, 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 rivers of living water. Oh, let the river flow. Let the river flow. Let the river flow.
We pray today's message ministered to you. If you want to accept Jesus into your life, we'd like to help you get started on your walk with Him. You may reach Gateway City Church at 408-281-7900. If we can help you in any way, please call today. One of our pastors is ready to assist you. Again, the number for Gateway City Church is 408-281-7900. Thank you for listening. If you are ever in the San Jose area, please join us and find out what so many have already discovered. Gateway City Church really is an exciting church that loves life, loves people, and loves God.